It's the 2nd of October 2013, and we're in the home of Jerry Herniman. I have with me Alan Brown from the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project, and this is John Thayers. And Jerry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
Should we begin the interview by asking you where you were born and, if you don't mind, when?
Well, I was born in Keynsham, 1951.
Mm-hmm. Where were you educated?
Initially, at Keynsham Junior Schools. And when I was 11, my parents moved to Cirencester. My father was in the bank, so he's moving around quite a bit. Spent 4 years there, sir, in grammar, and then we moved back down to Bristol, to Downend, where I finished my education before joining the police in 1970.
So where did you learn your early rugby?
Well, my father was a great rugby man. He was played for and captained Keynsham, and I went to the junior school in Keynsham, as I say, and the teacher there was rugby mad. So we played rugby at junior school. So I had a grounding there. Then we moved to Cirencester. Cirencester Grammar was a strong rugby mm-hmm. school. So I played a lot there. Steve Mills was one of my best friends at school.
Oh, right.
And we were in the same team at school. So he was always a hooker. I was always back row. But sometimes during the games, we just swap round. So Steve mm-hmm. would come in the back row for a rest and I'd go up to hooker. And then we moved down to, as I say, Downend, where I went to Rodway Technical High School and ended up captaining the team there for 2 years.
So how did you come to arrive at Kingsholm?
My first experience of Kingsholm, actually, was playing for Bristol Colts.
Oh, right, so you did play for the Bristol Club.
Yeah, well, I had one game for Bristol Colts. I was playing for Barton Hill Old Boys. So I'd play for the school in the morning, go off... Mm-hmm. a couple of pints and a few pies and then go and play for Barton Hill in the morning, in the afternoon, where I was playing number 8 for school, centre, scrum half or back row for Barton Hill. Mm-hmm. And then I got into Bristol Colts and played second row for them. Well, the game I played for Bristol Colts was against Gloucester at Kingsholm.
All right.
I remember it quite clear. Well, I remember one player in particular. They were very speedy, ginger-haired fullback.
Ha! Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, turned out to be one of my best muckers and still is. So, Ron Etheridge, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And was it a reasonable crowd
for the United for the Colts? Mm. There were a few there. No, I wouldn't say it was a big crowd, okay. But first sort of big ground. We used to train at the Memorial Ground with the Colts, but it was a step up from school and. Certainly from Barton Hill Old Boys, right? Barton Hill used to change in an old chapel and they had two tin baths, one of those old big tin baths. And both teams, first and thirds or first and seconds, whoever was at home, had a bath between them. So there'd be 30 of us in one of these tin baths. So playing up at Kingsholm and going to those big old baths that we used to have up there was quite a treat.
And then you joined as a, 21-year-old, you joined Gloucester?
19. Yeah, I joined the police when I was 19. I was off at training school through the all summer that year, 1970. And someone in the police said, oh, you ought to go down and get it, have a trial at Kingsholm. So I obviously wanted to play rugby, so off I went, played in a trial, which was like a war. I was used to punch-ups, but that was something else. It was to be repeated many times throughout the season. But, I had quite a good game. And then I picked up a little injury, I think, in that game. So I didn't play a couple of weeks before I got my first game for the United. And I didn't really know anybody. It turned out the only guy I knew was John Sporting, who used to drink in the Queen's Head, which was around the corner from the police hostel where I was living. So I knew him to talk to. So I turned up at the ground a bit early and he said, all right, kid, a bit nervous. I'm all right. He said, come with me, he said. And we went across to the jockey and two large schooners of sherry before we got changed. Oh, dear.
And then first team against Pontypool?
Pontypool, yeah. Towards the end of that season, somebody cried off injured. Dave Owen, I think, was cried off injured. I was walking the beat. I was out on duty in the afternoon. It was on a Wednesday. And they called me up on the radio to come into the police station. I thought, oh, what have we done now? Anyway, got in there. They said, go upstairs, get changed. The coach is going in 10 minutes. You're playing for Gloucester tonight. So that was... we drew three each down there. And that was on the Wednesday. Then the following, that Saturday, we had Cardiff at home. And I was picked for that. Well, Gareth Edwards and Barry John were supposed to play in that. But needless to say, they cried off. I don't think they ever played at Kingsham, either of them. And they, in fact, what had happened, they'd just been, the Lions tour team to New Zealand had been announced. They'd been asked not to play, so it was pretty genuine. So I think I was playing blindside that day. I think John Watkins was number eight. And I thought, they said, oh, there's a new scrum half, his debut. So I thought, I'll sort him out. Which I started to, but it was Terry Holmes. And Terry Holmes was no pushover and... gave me as good as I got, so. But we won, and that was quite a step up, really, from the sort of thing I'd been playing before. And then I went on then and had three or four more games, I think, that season.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did it feel like running out? You know, I just imagine that first time in front of a big crowd.
Well, to be perfectly honest. When you're young, you don't really take it all in. And obviously I was excited, but once you got in the changing room with Mike Nichols gin you up, you'd forgotten all about the crowd and you were just concentrating on the game.
Yeah.
But it was a thrill, a tingle down your back. And even in those days, there was a chant in Gloucester, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was a thrill, yeah. It was.
There's always the story that fear of Mike Nichols put everything else out of people's minds.
Yes, it did. I got my own back in due course years later, but that's another story.
So you played regularly for United in the following year?
Yeah, well, I was playing for the police as well. So, in fact, in those days, it was crazy because I was playing hockey on a Sunday, mixed hockey on a Sunday, playing for... Gloucester, more often than not, there was a United game on a Monday, and I'd be playing for the police on a Wednesday, and then Gloucester again on Saturday. I was in the police life-saving team, and trying to do everything. So the training, I'm afraid, didn't really come into it. I did need to train, but I just didn't have time. And with working shifts as well, it was just...
Yeah.
So it wasn't until a few years later that I took it a little bit more seriously, not too seriously.
Do you think that's the difference between what was effectively the amateur game and professional now, that there's a different mindset about you had to make a living elsewhere and other activities took your attention?
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, as you say, everybody had to work, and those days there was not a lot of analysis done of teams. In fact, the first time I remember that was when with the cup run, and Mike Nichols, because we didn't have a coach, Mike Nichols was captain, he was coaching. We coached ourselves, really. So there's a lot more analysis done these days, and obviously teams are much fitter, and the laws of made the game completely different. In those days, it just went from one pile up to another pile up. So goodness knows what was so entertaining about that. And then a punch up in between. I suppose that's what they came for.
I think that's a very negative view of the amateur game myself.
That's what I used to do anyway.
All right then.